This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
No, they don't. No, they don't. It is not a gender. It does not divide down gender lines.
Or is that part of your performance?
No, it's not part of my performance.
That's how, really,
well, I'm not performing, darling. That's just how we talk to each other.
We're just getting sound levels. So.
Yeah.
Can we just talk more about the dishwasher? How do you do this? Are you a dishwasher obsessive?
No, not really.
You see? Bloke. He knows that stacking the dishwasher is not a thing that you're doing to appease some weird dishwasher god. Background, I had a migraine a couple of months ago, or no, last year, that was so bad that I couldn't speak. So I've had migraines, and I had one last night, and even though I treated it with migraine tablets, and it wasn't that bad, and I didn't not speak, but it does the next day make you feel a little bit
strange. And that's your excuse for not having read the papers all week, or having any ideas for the column.
Some weeks you don't have any ideas, and that's the reality of writing a column, is that some weeks you don't have any ideas, and it's...
The reality of this podcast is about me not having any ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've read the papers and I come home and have a cup of coffee and...
Yeah,
blah, blah,
well,
blah.
You seemed like you had so many ideas.
I don't really. And okay. I'm struggling with various mental health issues, as you know.
Right. Your mental health issues, yeah. Just doing a Prince Harry. Just moaning on about your mental health issues as an excuse.
The only thing is that Harry... We could... I know, Prince Harry, as I was going to write last week, but we think it's... moved on.
The Prince Harry thing rumbles on.
Only because the thing that I thought, when I said like my mental health issues, and I do use it glibly, but I feel that having been in analysis for years and years and years and being a like reasonably well known.
No. You
nutter,
are the original nutter. Yeah,
I have all sorts of problems. I think it's okay for me to go with my mental health issues. And like everyone's got them in lockdown. On the Today programme this morning, they had yet another thing. I mean, I briefly flicked over from Times Radio before quickly, hastily turning back to the much better Times Radio.
Yeah.
But because my friend Amol Rajan is now doing Radio 4 Breakfast.
And I'm doing sort of, such a bang-up job as well.
He's really great.
Yeah.
They were talking about mental health in lockdown and it continues to be a thing. And, we've been suffering. You know, there's this thing where we're not going to have holidays and it's the rain's horrible and
right.
It's just everything's shit.
Yeah, sometimes everything's okay and then sometimes you hit a kind of... You hit a greasy bit, don't you? And you just sort of skid down into the pothole of depression.
Prince Harry, I was going last week when he was going, oh, I'm badly parented because my dad was badly parented by the Queen and she was badly parented. I thought one could write about... The problem is he's in the telling everybody you're in therapy stage, but he's doing it very publicly, isn't he? When you start analysis, which he clearly has done, and everyone's being really, really mean... Really mean, Matthew Syed in the Sunday Times. A lot of people going, oh, you know, happy, clappy, stupid California shit. Yeah. He should have a bit of British stiff upper lip. It's all right to have a bit of... Kevin Mayer was a bit similar, was he? You read
that
piece.
Yeah, he was quite similar.
In the Sun, quite similar. And I think, well, no, he's obviously, you know, his I went into analysis when, you know, largely when after my dad died and I got chucked by my fiance and think life was a bit shit. And I'd always been a mentalist anyway, and that was a good time. And I went around for a good few years telling everyone.
Yeah.
And you put it out there so that they know. And partly because if you're the kind of person who's gone into therapy, then you like talking about yourself. So you talk about your therapy. And what you do is you find other people who are in therapy and then they want to talk about it too. And I found that network, these other people who I didn't know.
It's like being an expat in Madland.
For example. No, it is. It's like it's like a gaydar or a Judar. So also he's a Jew too. Or I quite a left-handed person, you know, and it's like
yeah, that doesn't happen with gingers. We spy each other and then just turn around and walk the other way. We don't like being two in a room. It's so not
that wouldn't work then with you and Harry.
No, alas, no. I had to strike him off my list of potential suitors a long time ago because of that very reason. But yes,
but anyway, like a gaydar, like a Judar, like a leftydar, which is like not much of a thing, but still, I still like slightly short people, very tall people, 6'6" people. They always like see each other in a room and like we're both that, and let's talk about how shit it is banging your head all the time. And
but they can't stand together because then it's too funny.
It really is. It looks like two giraffes on the Serengeti, exactly. And all the other zebras are going nom 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 nom, and there's these two. But the mad dar, that's the thing. You then talk to other people. Oh, do you remember people like Lupus, like sort of tall, handsome German aristocrat? Oh, he's in therapy. So anyway, Harry's doing that, and it's very public. And so he can't stop talking about his analysis. And everyone has thought he's got this problem, which I identified. You know, he said, "I'm trying to break the cycle." He accidentally called it the genetic cycle
because he's too dim.
Because he's too dim, yeah. Really, to go into analysis. It's not meant. It's meant for neurotic. It's meant for Jews, really. Invented by Jews for Jews, largely. But really for media, North London, privately educated Jews, really.
With Freud, it's basically for Jews who like coke, isn't it? So it really is kind of media, North London.
Well, yes, no. North London media, privately educated Oxbridge Jews. They all like coke.
Yeah, exactly. As if they needed any help to talk any more than they already do.
But then it's this intellectual process, this sort of self-involved thing. It's not really for ginger squazzies. But the thing for example, the breaking the cycle, it's not a genetic cycle, it's a learnt cycle. That's the whole point, Harry. I had the thing mainly, I was about to have kids, don't want to hit them. My dad hit me, got to break the cycle. And very much, and I became aware in analysis, for example, that my dad only hit me because his dad hit him. And my dad, in fact, when he was whacking me, would be, he'd go whack, 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 you're lucky, my father used to hit me with a belt. And I remember as he whacked me thinking, yeah, I'm quite lucky. This is all right. And I'd go to school and what happened last night? Oh, I clanged my fork a couple of times and my dad thrashed my ass at the kitchen table. And people went, really? God, that's terrible. I went, oh no, I mean, he didn't use a belt or anything, because I would then defend my dad for not having used a belt. And then I remember that, I used to think, if Grandpa Sam, who I loved and after whom I named my son, who I don't hit.
I thought you were going to say who I don't love.
Who I love very much. And don't hit, even though the little fucker, like, possibly deserves it quite often, or used to and doesn't anymore. But anyway, I've never hit him. And I used to think, well, if Grandpa Sam used to hit my dad with a belt, what did great grandpa Harry hit Grandpa Sam with? A cricket bat, a stick, a rounder's bat, a piece of lead piping. Mm-hmm. And what did great grandpa Kirill back in the Ukraine used to beat Harry with? Like a club with a nail through it. You go back in time, father, Koran after Koran after Koran, these sort of big angry Jews in the shtetls going all the way back to what I was thinking. And I thought, to what? Abraham being fully prepared to kill Isaac on the mountain and then not doing. And so there was this cycle. And through possibly psychoanalysis, the fact is, I think that's probably why I don't hit my children. And when if I talked about it, I thought if I write about that, people are going to be really angry with me because that's Alan Corran. And Alan Corran is...
And the people who will be most angry with you will be your mother and your sister.
Yeah, so I've bored them with it so much. They'll just think, oh, he's tossing on about being hit again.
Right.
Loved my father, whacked me, like, not with implements. I was lucky. Mm. And it was fine. And he always said sorry afterwards.
Because that's the bit that really counts.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The downside of not hitting Sam is I don't get to have lovely cuddle apologies. But the point is, that was a cycle, not a genetic cycle, Harry. It's a cycle that needed to be broken. But if you talk about it...
Oh, sorry, I'm still reeling from from what you just said. The downside of not hitting my children is that you don't have to have the lovely cuddles and apologies. That's like the saddest thing I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of sad stuff from you. That's really, really, really sad. And I'm going to have to like take it just
really?
Like a moment.
I used to sit in my bedroom.
Oh my God, this is so awful.
I used to lie in bed after he'd hit me and I'd go upstairs after my thrashing. And I'd go upstairs to my bedroom with my Incredible Hulk poster on the wall and my Spider-Man poster and everything. And I would like think, I'm not going to forgive him this time. And then I would hear his feet coming up the stairs. And he's coming to, I'm not going to, and he'd come in and say, Jig, are you awake? And he'd go sort of on the door, and he'd come in and I go, and he'd go, I'm really sorry. And I go, it's all right, Dad, don't worry, it's fine. And at least you didn't use a belt.
It's so bad, darling, it's so horrid.
Well, you're only crying because you had a migraine.
No, I'm crying because it's really sad. Really, really, really sad that you're like, That's, and that's how, like, you know, I have no animosity towards your dad or whatever, but I just feel like that's how people get away with being horrible to children, is because children are so kind of willing to forgive their parents, like, over and over again. It's just awful. It's so awful.
And women who are abused by their husbands.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's like, oh, well, because the thing is that, you know, if he hits you, he's horrible to you or whatever, then he's so apologetic and nice to you later or afterwards, or does something else to make up for it. And it's just like, and you just, and it's just, sorry, it's just really sad. Crying is not a normal.
No,
lip.
I mean,
warned Will.
We should explain because we have not yet done the part of our podcast where we go, Ben isn't here today.
Yeah, Ben isn't here today.
We've got Ben's friend, Will. Hello, Will.
Hello.
Who knows Ben and has pints with him, apparently.
And before we started the podcast, I was like, listen, Will, we're probably going to have a big fight, so just prepare yourself. I didn't say, and I also might burst into tears.
And literally, we've had 51 or 52 podcasts and stuff, and largely, I just talk really, really fast, some shit out of the papers, and Esther laughs a lot, and then it's the end. And Ben takes one of the jokes and puts it at the top, and then you hear the sound of the dishwasher. This is not the normal...
I'm not crying anymore, I'm fine now.
I'm literally only broadcasting my pain here because I came down here this morning and said, so have you got anything for the podcast? And you said no.
I was reading another thing in the paper about how teenagers are so worried about work already. So by the time they're 15 or 16, they're sort of building their personal brand on Instagram and they're really worried about, like, you know, what their job is going to be in the future. Like Sam talks sort of endlessly about, you know, do you remember he went through that period where he was freaking out about how he was going to pay his utility bills?
Was that sort of shortly after he started playing Monopoly?
I can't remember. No, I think it's because he follows this guy on YouTube who, I'm sorry, but I hate you, Bruce Du. I really do. You're such a bad influence on my son. And also this guy called Eric Van Wilderman, who I think is slightly better. They're kind of gamers on YouTube. And they're sort of funny and inappropriate. They are funny, but it's not appropriate for an 8-year-old to be watching that content. And we have since banned Sam from watching Bruce Du. But he talks quite a lot about how he pays his bills and his utility bills. And he's kind of like this big baby in America, just gaming online and working at Papa John's pizza place and like...
Does he work at Papa John's?
A car repair depot. That's where he gets his funny stories from. Anyway.
I don't really know who he is. We talked about yesterday about being hit on by Bill Gates, the Bill Gates thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
You were quite funny about that.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people...
This person who we knew nothing about.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just like all good because he gave billions of pounds away. And now we've learned what?
Well, Helen Rumbelow yesterday in the paper wrote a brilliant piece about Bill Gates... saying that because he would email women for a date and who worked with him, a Microsoft engineer or someone who worked in marketing, whatever, and say, I'd like to see you out on a date. If you think this is inappropriate, let's just pretend it didn't happen. And a lot of women who worked at Microsoft have anonymously come forward and said, yes, Bill Gates asked me out on a date. Yes, I said no. And no, I didn't think it would negatively affect my career prospect. To me...
That's fine.
It's fine. To other people, it's like, this is not fine.
And it's not fine because he owns the company and has billions of pounds, and therefore it's confusing for the woman who doesn't want to have sex with him because she's thinking, maybe I should because he's so rich.
But the thing is that he's the ultimate non-threatening nerd, though, isn't he? And the idea that some non-threatening nerd in his button-down shirt and his chinos doesn't have dark sexual desires, this is like not... correct, is it? It's a bit patronizing.
So is there not really a column in Bill Gates being a pervert?
I don't know, but I do want to talk about my friend Natalie's geek project.
Is it relevant to the podcast?
Kind of, yeah. My friend Natalie who was very brilliant and amazing and clever, always took on what she termed as a geek project. So she would find some poor unfortunate boy who was kind of a bit of a geek or a nerd, and she would make friends with him and make him cool. But she had to desist this, because more than once the geek took this attention to be,
as you would. Is she in any way presentable?
She's all right, you know.
Some presentable woman comes up to me, imagining myself to be a nerd.
Yeah.
And going, hey, let's go clothes shopping.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
You let's would talk just
about
think,
music. Yeah. Well, exactly.
There's a film, there's a thing where Some Like It Hot.
Right.
I was just thinking there's a cultural thing I'm thinking of where she's into nerds. I mean, she's into millionaires, but, you know, the super,
who isn't?
Super attractive Tony Curtis, tenor sax player in the band and everything. But Marilyn Monroe's sort of Sugar Kowalczyk character is...
She's called Sugar Kowalczyk.
Sugar Kowalczyk.
Okay. Yeah,
Sugar Cane is her stage name. Sugar Cane.
Okay.
It was Kowalczyk, but she changed it. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she's always shagging the tenor sax. Tony Curtis is dressed up as a woman at this stage. Quite
right.
Common.
Yeah.
And she's confiding in who she thinks is Josephine.
Got it.
And he's dressed up as Josephine, and he really fancies Marilyn Monroe.
Of
and
course.
He's pretending to be a woman. And Marilyn Monroe, he's in the loos on the train, and she's going, I'm so glad to be in an all-girls band, because
right.
they're dressed up to be in an all-girls band so they can escape from the mob. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Have
yeah,
you not seen it?
No, but I
and
vaguely
so they dress
know
up
the
with
plot.
Them. And Tony Curtis, he's dressed up as a, and she's saying, and he's like, he's trying to chop ice for to make Manhattans and stuff. And she's confiding in him in this sort of falling out of this wonderful dressing gown with her, going, I joined this girl band because I always join bands with guys in. I always end up going to immediately, I just fall for the tenor sax.
And he's the tenor sax.
And yeah. And she's going, and I always end up with the sugar, with the fuzzy end of the lollipop. You know, they only have to play three bars of Come to Me, My Melancholy Baby. My knees turn to jelly. My arms grow a little trembly. And I come to him. And he's going chop, chop, chop on the ice, kind of trying to get to sort of displace sexual energy. And
right.
he goes, you know, I play tenor sax. And she goes, yeah, but you're a girl, silly. And he goes, oh, yes, so I am. He then dresses up as Junior, Shell Oil Junior,
uh-huh.
wears glasses and a blazer, pretends to be the heir to the Shell Oil and to have never kissed a girl.
Right.
And so he presents Marilyn Monroe with this challenge of having to seduce him. And then she's properly in love with him because he's not just a kind of rapey tenor sax.
Okay.
And that's a bit like your friend Natalie.
I do think the Bill Gates thing is interesting.
There, let's move on to something else.
Okay, fine. Okay.
I don't know that Bill Gates isn't going towards a column, is it? There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk about Boris's wallpaper disaster.
Oh my God. Inevitable.
So it's on the front of, is it the Mail? It's actually, I'm proud to say it's not the front of the Times, but it is the front of the Mail.
It's not the front.
It's page 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Now Boris's £840 a roll wallpaper is peeling off.
Of course it is.
After being given a pasting for getting Tory donors to pay for gold wallpaper, it's down to but Boris Johnson faced embarrassment. It keeps falling down.
That's why we have
a long history of wallpaper disasters.
We have a long history of wallpaper. There was the wallpaper that was hung upside down.
Well, that was the second bunch of that. First of all, we had this thing where you There's the thing where you wanted to buy this super posh wallpaper, which needs a special wallpaper hanging guy.
We didn't get the special wallpaper hanging guy in, so the other guy did it, and he did it wrong, and it had to be taken off, and we had
And how much was that per roll?
A lot. I think the entire cost of the wallpaper for one wall was £800.
Yeah.
And it's a small wall.
And it was from like the Wallpapers Guild
America.
Of whatever.
No, it was from one guy who prints it in America and then he has to ship it from America. Well, can you not think badly of me about this? As I really love this wallpaper. And nothing in my house is that nice, right? We don't spend money on antiques or... Yeah, you're priceless though, darling. We don't spend money on antiques or art or high tech. Our fridge doesn't close properly. Like, you know, we've got a table. We've got an occasional table in our living room that's literally some old sewing table that Giles found on the street.
All the sofas have been scratched up by the cat.
Yeah, everything's basically disgusting.
But Esther had this one little bathroom.
There's this one wallpaper that I absolutely love. It's called Apothecary's Garden and it's beautiful and you can only get it from this one little guy who prints it on his own in America and then he ships it to you. But it's really expensive.
And you thought, I won't bother to measure it, but you had to...
No, shut up, I don't want to talk about that.
This is the kind of thing that's happening to Boris and Carrie and the public need to know. This is where you need... We had one wall and this wallpaper was really expensive and you had to buy it in threes.
It was only Farrow and Ball. It wasn't madly.
How expensive was it?
I can't remember. £88 a roll.
People will be appalled, but I bet you can get roll paper for... I don't know what it costs, but...
Yeah.
And I don't care. But you could only buy three rolls of it. It was about £400, I think, for those three rolls. And you could only buy three rolls of it. So Esther didn't bother to measure it, bought three rolls. The guy came to hang them, and the three rolls very nearly covered the wall. You just needed one more roll.
Yeah.
But you can't buy one roll of it, so we had to buy three more rolls of it. And then we had six rolls, and we had two rolls.
And then everybody's Christmas presents were wrapped.
Well, then we ended up doing the downstairs loo in that wallpaper. Then
that all came off.
And then we had to. Then we decided to do Kitty's. No, when then we did another bedroom in it.
In the same. In all the wallpaper we had left over.
In a smaller bedroom, and didn't leave any instructions. Didn't think to leave any instructions.
Yeah.
And the guy hung it, and then I came home and I looked at it and I went, yeah, it's great, it's great. I think it looks different from in Kitty's room. And Esther came in. And like, didn't really even want to say.
Yeah,
he's hung it upside down. And what it is, it's like wisteria. So that it's got these great, beautiful, dangling a bunch of flowers. What are they called? Blooms. Anyway, except in this small bedroom of ours, the wisteria, we couldn't afford to change it. It's just growing up.
Yeah,
it's just branch of wisteria growing upwards.
I can see how you would make the mistake, but it is upside down. Yeah. I wonder how this is a column for you, though.
Not.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, let's...
My wallpaper disasters. What about the Starmer film?
I don't know enough about Keir Starmer.
Keir Starmer, the Labour Party has commissioned, or the BBC have agreed to do, or there's some fit-up that they're going to do a fly-on-the-wall documentary.
Like keeping up with the Kardashians, but keeping up with Keir.
Keeping up with the Starmers. Trying to get more recognition for Keir Starmer, because... all these local elections, nobody knew who he was.
Oh, God.
William Hague has sort of said that they did this during his... when he was leader of the opposition, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And he said what it did was give away all his tricks at PMQs and everything, but it didn't really work. And I just thought, Keir Starmer films... you know, you'd use Keir as a character. Obviously, there'd be the other. It's like, if it wasn't... It's not enough. You can't... Because we like Keir Starmer and you're friends with his wife and you live up the road, so it's obviously... For as long as Keir is leader of the Labour Party, I will always be perfect. I mean, always be nice to him.
Yeah.
I had plenty of fun with Corbyn and plenty of fun with Miliband and plenty of fun with Brown.
Yeah, but I didn't know their wives.
I know. So, yes, so Keir gets a bit of a free roll from me. That's
good.
Fine. No one knows who Keir is. It's fine. And his public persona is this... was going to be this forensic lawyer, but no one gives a shit, and he is just coming on a bit like a kind of high street solicitor. It's not really panning out. And so it's not a fly on the wall documentary series you need. It's a drama, it's a film, and then do some films with Kieran. Okay, so I'm thinking the main one is Rocky, and it's like Boris is Apollo Creed, and you have ain't gonna be no rematch, and it's like he's the Italian Stallion. It's Kier the something Stallion,
high street solicitor.
The Kentish Town Stallion, whatever. The
Kentish Town.
The
Tomcat.
But the St Pancras Anchorus. You know, I don't know what, but how about...
The Tufnell Park Pigeon.
Butch Cassidy and the Keir Starmer Kid. Rewrite loads of films.
And the Fortis Road Kid.
sort of thing. The Islington.
Oh my God, this is so good.
Is this good?
Yeah, this is great. A load of pitches, a load of elevator pitches with Keir Starmer in a three movie deal.
The Accountant Strikes Back, or, you know, and it's Jedi Knight Starmer, and it's like Boris is Jabba, and a load of what are the other films that are out now? What are relevant films?
Oh my God, this is absolutely terrific.
Nomad Land, Nobody Land.
Yes, exactly. Nobody Knows Who I Am Land.
So a load of Keir Starmer films that could put him into the
frame. Keir Starmer vehicles. Yeah.
Keir Starmer vehicles.
Jurassic Park. Yeah.
And then Len
McCluskey. The New World is...
You have dinosaurs such as...
Yeah.
No, and the joke, so you'd have like the Blairosaurus.
Yeah.
You'd have the Brownosaurus and Len McCluskey.
Yeah, excellent.
Do you get the joke?
I do get the joke.
He's a dinosaur
anyway.
He doesn't need a saurus.
Exactly. And then Boris Johnson is like the like Godzilla. Do you remember we watched a bit of Godzilla versus King Kong?
Yes.
So I'm afraid Keir Starmer's Godzilla, right? And Boris is more of a King Kong.
Because he's a neighbour and because his wife is your mate, I have to not be mean about Keir Starmer.
No, but you can. Oh, also.
And I'm not that
also,
I want to be.
Also, politicians have a different level of like. What's mean and what's not. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know Keir is a lawyer, but if he spent any time in politics, I mean, they just really like attention.
So other films then? What other we could...
Well, I just said Godzilla and King Kong. I gave you a great one.
Yeah, but
out now. What? Yeah, but he what? That's... It's a versus. It's a V. It's a, like, it's a grudge match. Godzilla and King Kong. It's a great film. Write it down.
Where? Godzilla.
On the other side of your paper.
Where's the bit? Okay.
Just other, look, it's blank.
Keirzilla.
Keirzilla, exactly. That's
Keir
a good
Kong.
One.
Keir Kong, and then it's Boriszilla and
Johnzilla,
giant, massive, great thingies,
yep.
And they have a
Although,
plot. Because he's more like Godzilla, but he.
But I wonder. I haven't actually seen to the end of the film. I wonder if King Kong is actually we're rooting for.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, fine.
Keirzilla versus
King Kong. Boris Johnson. King Kong.
Yeah, but.
You can think of it later. Think of it later. Don't waste
King
time
Dong.
On...
No,
yeah,
no,
King Dong. And then you could have... I've got to do Jurassic Park. That's a good one about the dinosaurs, about the Labour dinosaurs. And how about... You've got to have one with something with Angela Rayner, with like... that one with the Bonnie and Clyde. And Bonnie and Clyde, Angela Rayner can be...
Singing in the Rainer.
Very good. Is that got a difficult woman in it? Sorry, I didn't mean difficult
it's
woman.
It's just a joke about the rain.
Okay.
No, Singing in the Rain has got that lovely. We're going to stay up late in the morning. Good morning. She's got
good
Debbie
morning,
Reynolds's.
Good
it's got Debbie
morning.
Reynolds's. It's got Debbie Reynolds. Or Debbie Reynolds is.
Carrie Fisher's mother.
I think it's Debbie Reynolds is in it.
Yeah, I think it's Carrie Fisher's mother.
Singing in the Rainer or Purple Rainer.
That's not a movie.
I think Purple Rain is a Prince movie.
A Prince movie? Okay. All
I
right.
like one of those.
Sure.
Ones. What other films have Rain?
Rain Man.
Rainer Man.
Rainer Man.
Who else is in the... Gove. Gove Actually.
Gove Actually. Oh, my God. What? Who's Keir Starmer going to be in Gove Actually?
I haven't seen it.
You seem to be going off piece slightly. Are you saying that actually what you're going to do is... So you're going to do a film for Keir Starmer and then films for all the other members of the cabinet?
No, the films are all about Keir Starmer. It's just Keir Starmer, but they star him being something really cool in the film, but they have these funny names.
But okay, fine.
And I just basically... You know how The Sun would just do a list of the 10 film names?
Yeah, you're actually going to do the elevator pitch
And The Sun
as well.
Is really funny, or used to be. So yeah. I am going to do like 50 films with...
With a funny name and shoehorning Keir Starmer into... I think this is it.
Star Wars is going to be about all the Darth Keir and the Starmer Troopers.
Very good. I like it.
Do you think
Excellent.
Starmer Troopers?
Yeah. But who's going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi? Well, Jeremy Corbyn looks a bit like Alec Guinness, doesn't he? Let's face it.
Obi-Wan Corbynomi. I don't know.
Obi-Wan Corbyn. Look, this is the column you were
And he kills
born
him with a
write.
Lightsaber. Does it work?
I love it.
Do you think... And you see listicle, you see intro. What they need is films.
What they need is films. What they need to do is just insert him into remakes of these famous films. Where is Ben, by the way?
You know perfectly well where he is. He's getting married.
Oh, yeah. So how come in the jingle we're about to hear... It still says that Ben's producing it.
Because Ben was so anxious about all the stuff he had to do for his wedding, he didn't have time to re-record one, saying that it's being produced, in fact, by Will Rowe, who is also too lazy to have recorded his own jingle. Oh. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.